WGCH New Center time is 7:32, and the Greenwich Planning and Zoning Commission met last night, joined on the line by Pat LaRoe, Director of P&Z. Good morning, Pat. Welcome. How are you today? Good morning, Pat. Welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Tony. Thank you very much.
All right. Give us kind of the lowdown of last night's meeting.
Sure. So we started off with 163 Field Point Road. It's a subdivision application where they're seeking to transfer land between properties on Woodland and Field Point. The commission decided to leave the item open, and we'll be hearing it on our additional meeting we're having on August 8th next week to address some outstanding department and comments from the commission that wasn't ready for final decision, but will be probably in a couple of days. Then we went to discussion items. One was Nichols MD LLC at 32 Field Point. This is an application where they want to do a separate building in the rear of the existing property to do housing. The commission heard this as a pre-app a few weeks ago. They're back again. They wanted to get a sense of the direction that they were going. The commission was, by and large, in favor of the concept, but there are obviously the details are needed to be worked out, and asked the applicant that they start the process and go to the Historic District Commission to get the aesthetic review and historic significance review done so that when they come back with a final site plan, they at least have those comments. 515 East Putnam LLC, also known as 5 Brookridge, was next. This was a historic overlay project again. Some people may remember this was the subject of an 830G application probably last summer or a little longer. This is now back as an HO. They want to add a six-unit building. They want to add a building to the property that would equal six units on the site. This is the first time the commission has seen the proposal. By and large, it was generally received well as a concept. However, there are significant neighborhood concerns about the past problems with the site regarding tree removal and just the use of the property as a multifamily. So the applicant is, received all that information and will be coming back with an application to be determined. The next application, the Tetamazi and Minich family, they postponed at 19 Brookridge. We had Jonathan Acto Sanga Horton, and that was a rezoning application or a map amendment. The property that in question was a 20,000 square foot lot in an RA1 or 1 acre zoning district. They were asking to go to a 12,000 square foot district in R12 zone because their properties surrounding them were all in that zone. It seems that the line may have been drawn arbitrarily and predated zoning. The house is legally non-conforming with the RA1. It would be more conforming with almost all the zoning standards and as an R12 lot. The commission thought that that was a appropriate change of the map and approved that last night. Then we had Convent of the Sacred Heart. They're looking to do some expansion of their athletic facilities on the campus. We had heard the pre-app for this probably at the end of June, and now they're back with the final site plan. There's some outstanding issues that need to be addressed with regards to drainage and engineering, so the commission left that open for a later date. Then we had the Network Development Company subdivision at Zero Sunshine and Zero Florence was postponed. 240 Greenwich Ave, the 830G application was also postponed. River Road Development, which is at 89 River Road, also known as the Row America Building, was back. The property has gone from rental. There are some residential units on the property that were originally set up as rentals. They went condo during the pandemic, and now the property owners there are interested in having cover for some of their vehicles, given its proximity to the flood zone. Enclosed structures is not ideal, so they are creating carports there to cover some of the spaces. They lose a space in the construction of that, which is fine. That they seem to have enough on the site to accommodate all the uses. So the commission approved that application. Then we had Berkeley Insurance Company, 475 Steamboat. This was at the last meeting. A lot of mechanical equipment going on here with changes. The big discussion was sound attenuation. and the generator proposed for the site, which was a diesel-fueled generator, created some concern with the commission given air quality issues in the area and just the antiquated technology. The applicant responded with all the technical data that the commission asked for at the last meeting, and the commission was satisfied and voted to approve the site plan there. Last on our agenda was our signage and lighting regulations. This is something that we have been working on for about a year and a half with our consultant to address a lot of technical issues with our regulations, but not least important is the fact that there are some court cases that have come through the Supreme Court regarding signage and First Amendment rights, and our regulations just hadn't caught up with the times, along with catching up with technologies that currently exist for signage and lighting. This was the first public hearing for the discussion. We've had work sessions that were public, but this is the first meeting with the commission where we can receive comments. The commission received a lot of good comments about lighting and dark skies and habitat reasons for having controls on lighting. And also there was a request through email to have a meeting with the commercial property owners to just go over the nits and gnats of the new regulation, and which we will do between now and the next time the commission has this open, probably the end of September. So that was our reading.
Pat, can you give me an example of a signage change? I mean, there's Division 16, Division 14. Can you be a little more specific about what signage changes are or what they would be?
Yeah, so it's interesting. So procedurally, we didn't have a lot spelled out about what the role of the AR, the Architecture Review Committee, was and how signs get reviewed. It's very... Our regulations are very robust when it comes to site plans and special permits and subdivisions, and there's a procedure and it's all written out. We never got around to making one since the 80s, and so we wanted to tackle that as well. But also there's a lot of First Amendment rights with signage. There's a very famous case, I believe it's called the Gibson case, but I may be Gifford if I remember, but the Supreme Court determined that content was a First Amendment right, and that signage can't be regulated for content. So we have a lot of things in our regulation for the last 40 years that talks about content. Really, signage can only control the lighting source, the size, and the square footage of the signage, so to speak. So those are the things that we wanted to focus on and not get ourselves into some legal hot water by legislating things that we're no longer able to do.
Okay, because two things I would think about. One was signs that maybe distract people while they're driving, trying to read them and be distracted. And the other is that part of it?
That's part of it, too. The way that things are lit is critical. You know, having Vegas-style signs with lights chasing each other around or whatever, that was something that the town, you know, not only is that a distraction, but it's also considered an eyesore for the aesthetics of Greenwich. So, you know, we wanted to have lighting that we think is... more in keeping with the Greenwich feel. And okay. So we wanted to write those down. Problem is, when you write them down, it's very hard to explain it in a few sentences, right? So we have a lot of verbiage now in the regulation, where before it was a very short section. Now it's going to be, 15 pages. But that is the way it has to be, I guess.
Okay. And the other thing I thought about was it colored signs and black and white signs? That's not this, right? There's not, some towns ban those types
of
signs.
Yeah, so... Right? Yeah. Color is content, so it's one of those things that we can't mandate with zoning regulations. There are other regulation techniques that we can use. We can create historic districts and things like that where there's a signage aesthetic. We haven't gone to that level. What this regulation does is it does break down the commercial districts into subsets, so there's a little bit of variation in the size and the style that we can adjust to for the areas that they're going in, whether it's Glenville, Sound Beach, or Greenwich Ave. But it gets away from the content.
Okay. And Pat, back at the beginning, you referenced a second meeting you've added in August on the 8th, right?
Yes, we have another meeting on the 8th, and then we'll have a couple-week break for the commission. That was at the request of the Old Greenwich School Building Committee to have their pre-app for the school renovation and addition. So that'll be the first thing on the agenda, We also have another pre-app at 84 South Water Street, the Hasco Industrial Building. There's a prospective project there to go residential, and that will be the pre-app, and the first time the commission will talk about that in public. And then 163 Field Point, which is on this meeting, will come back and hopefully have their items buttoned up as well.
All right, Pat, well, we'll get you one more time before the summer's over.
All right. Just one more time. Yep, thank you.
Take care. Have a good day. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
That is Pat LaRoe, Director.